rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Lakes.
Hi, Lizzie. Afternoon.
We're in Chico, California. My mom lives here, and we had some family obligations and some running around to do.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd record a podcast about bicycles.
We're in Legs and Lizzie's mobile studio, coming to you from Chico, California.
Back seat's looking a little messy.
Yeah.
If you're on the YouTube channel. So why don't you just lead us through?
We have talked about our love of cycling and also about not trying to recycle and not use something, constantly buying something new and using things that have already been made. I'm looking for a bike and a bike that I can afford. And really, while I can afford right now, but also what I want is a nice old steel bicycle of some kind. So we were doing some research, knew we were going to be in Chico, and we found this, I would say, unique bike shop, because most bike shops have all these brand new bikes. They're all neat and orderly, and everything's lined up, and you know, you feel like you can't touch anything. And so today we went in to Pullen Cycery in Chico. It's at 801 Main Street. And since 1984, Steve and Katie O'Brien have owned this cyclery that's, I don't believe there's anything new there. It's all old frames that they and bikes that they redo, recondition. Plus on one wall are all of the bikes that Steve owns that he's collected over the years that you want to buy, but probably can't afford. So we went in.
Amazing bikes,
like really amazing bikes, old school bikes. And so we walk in, we say who we are, and he's the friendliest man. You know, he starts talking to us immediately, telling us about it, going through all the different bikes.
We say who we are, not like we're anyone.
Correct.
We just introduced ourselves.
And what we're doing.
And
our love for cycling.
Yes.
And why we're there. And we did message him, letting him know we would be there. And he remembered that. And I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, he's Irish, of Irish descent. And I like that. And so did Lizzie, but I really like that. So, and he's really into being Irish. So,
yes.
He gave us a little bit of a tour, talked about his frames and his bikes and the people he knew, and explains what some of them, you know, meant to him and what he liked about them. He definitely loves, made it very clear, he does not like anything new. He likes everything old. He feels like the new ones are complicated and difficult, and he's right. But, you know, each person has their own choices. And right now, I can understand I've ridden both. And, you know, I have a hankering to going back to the olden times of riding a steel frame with old components. I just wish I could afford someone who's really cool bikes. Because he's almost as tall as me, too. So I could probably fit his bikes pretty well. So, yeah, I really enjoyed walking through there. And we're going to come back and talk to him again.
Yeah, and some of the references to the older bikes, Legs knew, but I could appreciate all the history, and I loved how he knew the owner and then the owner before that, and kind of where the bike came from and in its journey and how it got to him, including one of the last ones was the Marin people. Do you remember the story on the last bike?
So there was Tom Ritchie bike there, and Tom Ritchie, if any of you are in cycling, he's a former racer that ended up owning his own component and frame company, and still does, down on the peninsula in California. And he was always part of the mountain biking scene that included Gary Fisher. So there was an issue with, I believe Fisher had one of Richie's bikes, and because he was angry at Richie, He sold the bike for hardly anything to Steve O'Brien. So he got it, you know, for a cheap price, and he's still hanging on to it.
And he's sorry he did.
And he's sorry he did. And they were and they've talked about it now, and I guess he's, you know, written about it or something. So, yeah, I thought that was very interesting. There's always been a rivalry there, a friendly rivalry. So, you know, both are like, I don't know what you would call them, like the OGs of mountain biking. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's pretty interesting
to
hear.
That's one of the old bikes, and everything has a price. So the right. really, one of the people working there was very friendly to us and was showing us the bikes at first. And he says that, you know, there is a price for everything. So, but for generally, it's part of the store is like a little museum, which is cool. And I used to have a Sears tote cycle, and there was this old Raleigh foldable bike. I don't know what year you do you think that's like 60s
yeah, or 50s? 60s.
50s or 60s?
Yeah,
probably 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Sears tote cycle. So I kind of got to throw that out, and he was appreciative. And if you're listening, we're just really, really grateful for the time in the store. I knew that new bikes were unsustainable as it related to anytime you make something new versus reusing it, it's not going to be as sustainable. And sometimes in cars, they'll argue, okay, well, you're going to a battery, so you're going to a non-fossil fuel. But just common sense tells you that reusing a bike would be better. But I didn't realize the materials were toxic.
Correct.
And that weren't allowed, the carbon fiber materials aren't allowed in the EU.
It's the glue. So carbon fiber frames are made in a mold. And with strips of carbon fiber sheets, but they're laid there with this resin, this glue, and it's the glue itself that certain countries don't allow, and that's what he was talking about. So he was talking about that. He was giving us a story, so this is coming from him, where he has somebody that has this really fancy Italian bicycle, probably cost $10,000 or $15,000. He said, I had to have an Italian bicycle. Steve goes, it's not Italian. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. No, no, no. So they flip it over.
That's not a good day for that person.
No, because he didn't realize that those resins that are being used are not allowed in the EU. They're coming from, as Steve said, in its truth, North Africa and China. Most of them are made in China.
And this one was from Taiwan.
And this one from Taiwan. So, you know, in Asia. So those, and also carbon fiber breaks down. Steel, if it doesn't rust, will last forever. You just, you know, make sure it doesn't rust, keep painting it or leave it the way it is. But carbon fiber will break down, become not as strong over time. So if you want a long-lasting bike that's sustainable for the climate, the world, steel is real. That's what they always said back in the day, and it's a truth right now. So steel is real.
Steel is real.
And Legs is going for a steel bike.
You heard it here.
Yeah. I loved it back then, but I love it more now.
The other thing I really was excited to find out, and it's amazing how things are all connected, but I mentioned that one of my favorite bike stores, which I've said on our new podcast, I've already said it in another episode, is Bonner Bikes in Sandpoint, Idaho. It's a used bike store where you walk in and you have a wall of bikes, much like Pullen Cyclery we just saw. It sounds more that like Pullen's repairs them and then you buy it versus walking into the back to pick it out, but maybe not. Maybe if you're back there and you see something, they'll fix it up for you. Why not? But he mentioned that he's I would like to say his name correctly, so I'm asking you to point to it, please. There we go. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve O'Brien. I'm sorry. I'm in my third act. Sometimes I need to look at things again for my memory.
Me too.
That Steve is really involved in the music scene, and he was talking about how he plays music, and he has a sound system because he wanted just to be able to have the bands, and he figured it out. So we don't have all the details of all of the places because we only spent about 10-15 minutes with them, but we hope to have an interview if he would allow us in the future. But he said that John Craigie is someone that is, I think he said he's coming.
Yep.
But John Craigie plays a lot with the Shook Twins, and the father of the Shook Twins is the one that owns the Bonner County Bikes. And so I thought that was very cool. They, I think they're just really good buddies and tour a lot together and then are playing a lot together because they're touring. I don't think it's a romantic connection, and that just shows you that, like you, I don't always follow the behind the scenes.
Right.
But they play shows together a lot. You often see the Shook Twins with John Craigie. So that was really cool to find out.
Well, yeah, it seems like Steve is well connected in the music scene here in Chico. So there's a number of clubs he mentioned. There's a lot of Celtic music that he knows about.
And
we love it.
He says he's the self-described Irish ambassador.
Exactly. And he has his own Celtic radio
show.
Yep.
On the,
So he's one guy that we hope will allow us to interview him and meet him again and talk about. He's full of stories because in 10 minutes he told us quite a few really good stories. And maybe I didn't talk as much in the store because I was sort of gobsmacked by all the beautiful old bicycles there, like ones I haven't seen in years, like an old Swin Paramount frame that I haven't seen that emblem, the head badge emblem, since I've been, you know, in my teens probably. So it was really nice to see, brought back memories.
And we can put the radio station in the show notes. We can look
exactly
up what the call letters are. And then you started to say before we hit play that they were pulling out some type of bikes that made you excited.
So, well, excited, but it also was a little childhood trauma. But because I love cycling. No, hang on, because I love cycling so much. I'm in third grade at fourth grade time, and my father, you know, he's the one that promoted my cycling. He had got me this brand new Raleigh 3-speed in green, my favorite color, and I love this bike. And all summer long, I rode this Raleigh 3-speed, and it was beautiful. I kept it shined, everything. So I have it at my school, my elementary school, with a lock, completely locked up. I get out of class, and it wasn't that just my bike was stolen, but the whole rack was stolen.
Wow.
With I don't know how many bikes. And it's like, I was devastated. This is like the first time in my life I've ever had anything stolen, but something like I really loved and care about. And it wasn't going to get replaced really quickly. And I'm trying to figure out, now I'm going to have to walk around all over the place when I can't go ride my bike everywhere.
That is, that would be really,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, so I had to work that one out as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, people steal. People took my bike. You know, later on I figured, they're probably selling it for nothing. This really meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had a lot of bikes stolen. So that's really good. But that one was the one that broke my heart. And
so don't steal stuff, people.
Yeah, don't steal. So yeah,
I
that's
think people have listened.
But what's happened? The reason I said that was I didn't actually say, because there's a gentleman that works there who I believe repairs a lot of the bikes. He was the one that said there's a price for everything. He's rolling out two of the Raleigh three speeds. They're all beaten up, but in a nice way, like a lot of patina and everything on them. And it's like, oh my God, I remember that. You know, with the old like 3-speed hub and a little chain coming out with the wire so you could, change the gears. I would love to have one now, but it doesn't have gears that would allow me at my age to ride anywhere. Cause I had to go up a hill and not like, So.
Three are better than one.
It's true. I mean, I'm too old to drive at fixed speed, so three is better than one. Yeah, probably. So it was just
That's
a nice memory.
Great.
It was a good memory to go in there for that period of time. I can't wait to go back.
Nice. Well, keeping on the bicycle theme, we also wanted to talk about some travel plans. And Legs will talk more about it, but just to start out, we've thrown around whether Sea Otter might be something to go. We have the podcast. We love bikes. Legs needs a bike. And as we were talking, I was questioning how many of these hundreds and hundreds, 900 or however many exhibitors, are handmade type bikes, smaller companies, U.S. made, etc. We did a little bit of research where we kind of started in looking. No, and we didn't get too far. So that's not to say those types of companies aren't there, and we'd love to know if they are. So definitely send us a note if they are. But we've been talking about maybe going next year, and then in thinking about this and handmade bikes in general, we came upon the handmade bike show in Portland called Made. And what do you know about that? Anything yet?
Not much, other than it was a success in 2023 and it's coming back. It's in Portland, Oregon, August 23rd through the 25th. Like Lizzie said, it's Made-Handmade Bike Show. It's at Zedell Yards. And there's going to be, the pictures of the bikes from last year are extraordinary. And Lizzie and I want to promote and talk to the men and the women that work in these shops, the small places that are handcrafting these bikes and putting a lot of love into them. They're not mass produced. They mean a lot to people. Some people have to wait for a long time to get these bikes because that's the bike they want. And so we're going to trek up there and check it out. You know, as we were researching the Sea Otter Classic, we realized that, you know, that wasn't our thing this year. Might be next year, as Lizzie said, but this year we need to go check. You know, Portland's not far from us and it's a nice place to go. So we're going to go check out the Handmade Bike Show, or Made Handmade Bike Show, and see what it's about. And hopefully get some good information for all of you.
Sounds good. A couple other things. We really got a lot of information from Steve O'Brien in this short amount of time. And one of the things, and I don't have the name of the company or the name of the component unless you remembered, but we can definitely research it and put it in the show notes, is a Chico-based company that makes this component. And had a tough time. This was such a wonderful story where this fellow was so disillusioned. He was selling
quick release for the seat.
Yeah, and it was the first, I think it was the first one made, wasn't it?
Right. He was making these really beautiful, back in the day when they were handcrafting and using CNC machines, but this is clear, it was handcrafted. So it's this really beautiful one that where he's drilled holes in it to make it lighter. Mm-hmm. And
he wasn't selling any of them, and right. He was getting disheartened, and Steve was the first one to order it, and then he got on the phone and called all these shops, and then all of a sudden this fella had like 10 shops, I might have the number wrong, but about 10 shops ordering these things, and he was off. Now, he probably didn't become a millionaire from it, but
no.
Can you have a nice life and live a nice life making things and serving people if we're all buying local and buying handmade, right?
Right.
So I think that this bike show would be right up, even though he's not selling new bikes, it'd be right up Steve O'Brien's alley, because it would be something that he'd be more interested in. And
he might be going, we didn't even ask him. But you know what's interesting is back when, for example, mountain biking was getting started, these companies were forming.
Mm-hmm.
These really small companies. Well, the one I remember is like White Industries. They made these amazing hubs. You know, you look at them and you can't believe they were making them in a small little place in northern Marin. CNC is a computer-aided machine that cuts all the metal and everything and forms them. And these things were beautiful. And there was a lot of companies forming back then that were making cranks and hubs and, quick releases. And they're not around anymore because everything got really big in corporate. I mean, Joe Brees got started. One of the things, his claim to fame, is this thing called HeightRight, which is this spring-loaded device on your seat that because you had a quick release on your mountain bike seat, and when you're going through treacherous stuff, you want to lower your seat and then have it go back up to the height that you normally have it up. So he developed this thing called the HeightRight. And so you could push it down as you're riding, and you got really good at it and pushed it down. And then when you're ready to start hammering again, you flick it up, it gets there, close the quick release, and you're going back. And then look, you know, so besides all the things that Joe Brees did in mountain biking and making frames and everything else, he made a height right. You know, which
there
is
you
a,
go.
So there's a lot of really cool things out there, and it's nice to know people are still doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing you mentioned is someone, an employee that used to work for him that opened American Cyclery
in San Francisco, near Kezar Stadium.
So we'll have to
And I've been there, and it's really cool.
You've been to that shop?
Yeah, a long time ago. So we'll go there, and there's a lot of stuff there.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll go there. And Kezar is old.
I think that was, it's evening for us. It's the first time we've recorded an evening episode, and it's late in the day, and things are cooling off, and it was a beautiful day here in Chico, California. Excuse me. And anything else?
No, I think, you know, we got to get home and, you know, have a life too. And we want to let you know what we're up to. And
we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, this was really great to just have a whole a show about cycling. It's like a really nice feeling to, hopefully all of you are interested, because we'll keep them coming.
Punk Farm.
Love life.
Do stuff.
Don't buy stuff.
We're a little tired right now.
Yeah, yeah. And a little punchy. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Rides his pony down life's lane. Searching for the wild.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life Podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain. He knows he'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. For strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift along. To the heavens, his only friend alone. On the widest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's Jimson weed and tumbleweeds. Join the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. He's lonelier. this old world. She goes round and round. Damn little good within it he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on and on. From the dust, dust he returns. Has to happen, let them fires burn, just drift away, 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 away. For strangers cry.